The latest nursing news and information brought to you by the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing's Future. This is Nursing Notes Live. Nursing Notes Live is an audio extension of the national award-winning monthly e-newsletter, Nursing Notes, which offers the latest industry news, trends, and updates in nursing. You can subscribe to the e-newsletter at www.discovernursing.com. Each month's Nursing Notes issue is accompanied by a select few episodes of Nursing Notes Live, which expands on the content and provides you greater insights into the topics presented in the e-newsletter. You can listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. On Nursing Notes Live this month, we are looking at critical care nursing. In this episode of the Nursing Notes Live podcast, I'm joined by two critical care nurses to kick off our panel discussion. Karen McQuillan is a clinical nurse specialist at the R. Adam Calley Shock Trauma Center at the University of Maryland Medical System in Baltimore, Maryland. She's also the president-elect of the American Association of Critical Care Nurses, the AACN. Heather Morey is a nurse manager at the Monroe Regional Medical Center ICU in Ocala, Florida. She has the distinction of being a four-time recipient of the AACN Beacon Award for Critical Care Excellence. Here's that discussion. Heather and Karen, I want to welcome you both to Nursing Notes Live, and I guess I'll start off with my first traditional question for our guests. And Heather, I'll start with you. Tell us a little bit about why you wanted to become a nurse and how that educational process progressed, what your career through school was like.
I actually was in school to be a teacher. I wasn't looking at nursing at all. And my mother got very sick, and she was in the hospital for probably a month, and I was actually just starting college at that time, so I would go to the hospital before classes, go to the hospital after classes, and do my homework there, and saw the interactions that the nurses had with her, and during her hospital stay is when I said, this is what I want to do. I had to change colleges. And go to nursing school. I was working full-time and going to school part-time. So my ADN degree actually took me about 5 years to obtain. But once I got that, I never looked back. It was worth the struggle of having all of my friends be done with school before I was, to know that it was something that I accomplished on my own.
Fantastic. How about you, Karen? Why did you want to become a nurse?
Well, I started off going to school at University of Maryland in College Park. It was near my home and reasonably priced since I lived in the state of Maryland, and it was a very good college. And I started going there and taking classes. Initially, my thought was is that I wanted to be a marine biologist. And about a year into school, I thought, geez, I don't know about being a marine biologist. I'd really like to do something where I could help people more rather than, just study marine biology. So I actually had lots of the prerequisites started, since many are the similar science-type classes that I would need for nursing school. So I finished my prerequisites at University of Maryland in College Park and transferred to the nursing school at University of Maryland at Baltimore and finished my 2 years of nursing there to get my BSN. I actually entered nursing, and I entered at a community hospital in critical care medical surgical unit, and I just absolutely loved it. I knew immediately I had made a really great career choice, and as I spent years working there, it sort of became apparent that there was still so much more to learn. It's the more you know, the more you figure out you don't know. And so I decided to go back to school, really, to just better understand what was going on with my patients so that I could better take care of them. So I went back and got my master's degree in trauma critical care nursing at the University of Maryland at Baltimore. I learned an incredible amount. It was an absolutely wonderful program. And I actually became a clinical nurse specialist and have been doing that job for a number of years. So that's kind of been my trajectory as far as education and what my career path has been.
Heather, how did you get involved with critical care? Was that something you jumped right into after school, or was it something that you went into after trying some other fields?
Actually, I started off, my very first job was at a nursing home. I was living in South Florida, and my graduating class was 520 people, I believe, 520 nurses. So we kind of overwhelmed the hospitals. So my first job was at a nursing home. I was there almost 6 months, I believe. And then I moved up to where I'm living now in Central Florida. And I got a job as a telemetry nurse at one of the hospitals here locally. So I did that. I had to find my passion. I did the telemetry nursing for 3 years, and then I went to the emergency department, and it was like I found my home. Emergency nursing was incredible. I did that for 14 years, and then this job opening came for the manager of the critical care. And with working in the ED, I had a lot of contact with the critical care nurses. Between giving them report, bringing up patients, just calling for advice. A lot of our, we have an intensivist program. So if we have a patient in the emergency department that's going to be going to the critical care area, the intensivist can call down some orders to be done. And if there's a drug that they use in the critical care area but not in the emergency department area, they'll call down and talk us through hanging it, what the side effects, just keeping us nice and safe and the patient safe. So I had a really nice rapport with the charge nurses up there, the supervisors. So when this position became open, I applied for it. And I have been there almost a year and a half. And now I'm thinking critical care, I found my home. I love it. It's amazing. So it was a journey for me to find where I wanted to go. I would say 15 years I've been nursing, so, or 16, and I finally found where I thought I was 10 years ago.
That's exciting. And it really points out how many different ways our careers can change over the course of our lives to just mm-hmm. doing different things and continuing our educational advancement in many different ways, whether it's through learning new jobs or going back to school. You both are great examples of that.
The more that you read and learn things, you get this passion to learn something new and try a different area. Mm-hmm. So there's always an option. You're never stagnant.
You realize as soon as you learn something new, oh my goodness, there's five more things I didn't know. So it really is re-energizing. It keeps you going.
Yeah, it is.
You know, Heather, I was really happy to hear that you had that great relationship between the ED and the critical care nursing areas that you were able to call up for advice. And I find that happens in many areas. The critical care nurses really lead the way and help set some of the standards for care in the other areas of the hospital. Is there a reason you think that there is for that, Karen?
I think in large part, I think the critical care nurses there's really an expectation. You have to have an incredibly strong knowledge base. You have to be able to be good at critical thinking because you have to typically be able to recognize really subtle changes and be able to react, pretty pretty quickly to be able to take the best care of the patient. And so I think critical care nurses have such a strong knowledge base. They also have to be able to be a real advocate for the patient, be able to speak up and work closely as a team with their, you know, physician colleagues and, you know, nurse practitioners and such. And, you know, in doing that, I think they gain a lot of respect for that strong knowledge base, that strong critical thinking and decision making that they are able to do. And many of them, both in critical care and outside of critical care, but, you know, become quite strong leaders. And so I think it's easy to see why you would look to that nurse to see, you know, gosh, could you help us with implementing, you know, perhaps a mock codes in our intermediate care unit, because they know those nurses have that knowledge base and would be able to share that. So I think perhaps that's why that's often the case.
Heather, do you have any thoughts?
I absolutely agree 100%. The other thing that I would add to that is that with the critical care nurses, they're, with their knowledge, there's this a respect that nurses in other areas, the med-surg nurses, the ortho nurses have when they're calling the rapid response or they're calling the code. There's that respect that they know this nurse is coming down, because the doctor might not come down with them. This nurse is coming down, will not be angry, will talk me through this, will, you know, guide me in the right direction and make sure my patient gets the best care. So I think there's a mutual respect, because the nurse coming down also knows, hey, I can run a code. I know how to do these things. This nurse has 7 or 8 patients on her patient load, might not be able to run this code, so I need to be as pleasant and keep an encouraging atmosphere, because if I am negative or nasty, they're going to shut down and not ever learn and want to come up and join me in the critical care in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the things that are going on in critical care and right now? And I guess I'll talk to you first about this, Karen, is, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of things. I've had the privilege of being able to attend the AACN NTI conference for the last 3 years as a journalist. Great. And interview some amazing people and researchers involved with some really groundbreaking things in nursing care. And I wonder if there's some things that have cropped up on your radar that you see really influencing the way we take care of our patients.
Oh, for sure. First of all, healthcare is changing at an incredibly rapid pace. So I think that there's a real challenge there for nurses to be able to constantly adapt and be nimble to a lot of those changes that are coming. Some trends that are clearly seen are, first of all, with improvements in technology and the ability to support just about every organ system in the body, we are able to keep patients alive that in the past, quite frankly, would have never been able to live. And in doing so, we've created a patient that lives for a very long time with an incredible number of comorbidities and sometimes extremely serious disease. And so there's really a continuum of critical care. We see critical care really moving out of traditional in-hospital settings, so that there's some people that are being cared for in their home or in long-term care facilities that we would have years ago seen in critical care units. You know, they're on mechanical ventilation. They may have artificial hearts or a number of other organ support you know, mechanisms that they're utilizing just to stay alive. Those individuals also come back and forth into the hospital, oftentimes frequently. And so there's a real need to look at transitions of care and to be able to support nurses not only inside, but those that take care of critically ill patients, again, outside of the hospital. So the walls of what constitutes critical care have really changed a lot, and a lot of that is due to the changes in technology and what we've been able to do as far as keeping individuals alive you know, all that technology is something, too, that the nurse has really had to learn a lot more about. There's just an incredible amount of devices that are used now to keep patients alive. And I think the challenge there is that we can never lose sight, of course, of the importance of the caring aspect of the patient, not just managing those devices, which can sometimes, you know, be numerous in the patient's room and really, you know, almost take over the room, so to speak. But, you know, keeping that caring aspect for the patient and family foremost, of course, is extremely important. So those are some of the things that I think are some of the major trends that are going on. You know, we're also tasked now with making sure that our outcomes are stellar because that's how we get reimbursed. And so there's changes in how healthcare, you know, actually functions, and the emphasis on quality has truly become paramount, which is good because we want to provide excellent care at the bedside and have good outcomes. But it has changed somewhat in some of the foci that occurs, you know, when you're in a meeting or talking about patient care. So those would be a few things that come to my mind.
Heather, I know you've been recognized by the AACN with, I think, some of their awards in the past with some of the things you've been doing. What do you see is the emphasis to continue to build research and build recognition of nurses that are leading the charge in providing great care?
I think a lot of the desire of the nurses to be recognized and have their units recognized goes back to they want to provide the best quality care, and they want the patient experience to be a pleasant one and not one that the patient is fearful of the hospital or the ICU or of nurses. So I know that with my unit, we have a research team, and every year the research team gets together and says, okay, what's going to make the biggest impact on our patients this year? Their first article is actually going to be published this year on temperatures, getting temperatures different, which is the most accurate way to do a temperature. And their research changed the whole process for the hospital. The hospital got the tympanic temperatures. They did a study that was tympanic temperatures. Were they as accurate as old temperatures? And they weren't. So their research led to the hospital change in their policy where we no longer use tympanic thermometers. We only use the oral thermometers. And that will be published, and they're doing one right now on blood pressure when the focus was infection. So it was just a higher infection rate. They did a study on the wash basins, and they cultured the basins and the amount of bacteria in the wash basins that we bathed the patients with was extremely high. They developed a protocol for the ICU on cleaning the bath basins out every shift, flipping them upside down, not putting personal belongings in them, and they cut the infection rate tremendously in the unit with this research team. So the nurses want to be the best. They want to provide the best. They really care about their patients. And that is what drives them to learn and research and do more.
I love hearing about that. That's fantastic. And it just speaks to me of the whole nursing process, which is, to me, making simple, small, incremental changes that have a big impact on patient outcomes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's washing your hands. Just simple act of washing your hands makes such a difference. And I think sometimes we forget that. We get so involved with the to-dos, and you want to just hurry and get it done because you know you need your time management. You have to hurry and get things done. But it's the simple acts of washing your hands or sitting down and talking with the patient if you have 5 extra minutes. You know, holding somebody's hand when they're visiting their loved one who's sick. It's the little things that truly make the big difference.
Mm-hmm. That's really exciting. I totally agree with you, Heather. Nurses feel so good when they can make a difference. And
yeah.
That's what your nurses are doing. That's wonderful. It's really great.
And I know, Karen, you work at Maryland Shock Trauma Center, so you see patients in a different setting where they're coming in with major multi-system trauma injuries and things like that. Is that a different specialty within critical care, or is it all just really just critical care?
Well, you know, critical care has really become specialized. We have 9 different ICUs at University of Maryland, just as an example. You know, you have pediatrics, neonatal, neurosurgical, neurotrauma, multi-trauma, cardiac surgery, coronary care, medical ICU, surgical ICU. It really has, in some of the larger centers, you can see where there's specialization, even within critical care arenas. So it's pretty interesting, and those nurses actually have an incredible amount of expertise in their particular specialty. So, again, that really makes them really able to pick up those subtle changes. Just in working in my neurotrauma unit, for example, I mean, those nurses day in and day out take care of traumatic brain and spinal cord injured patients, and they can pick up on some of the most subtle changes, really get on top of that, and I think really make a huge difference in the patient's outcomes. So, in many different areas, particularly where there's large academic medical centers, they've got specialty ICUs. So there is, in fact, specialization that occurs in those settings.
You know, it's July, and I always call this the NCLEX season. This is when all the nursing students I see on Facebook and on my my page for my shows and stuff that their nurses posting, I just passed, and it's that time of year where there were a lot of new nurses coming into the hospitals. Heather, I'll ask you first. What advice would you give to that new nurse who is thinking critical care is going to be where I want to go? What skills does she need to develop? What special things does she need to have in mind if she wants to go into critical care?
The most important thing is assessment skills, that you don't truly get from school. You need some time on the floor to get that assessment skill. You need some time in a non-critical care setting where you listen to the bowel sounds and listen to a patient's lung sounds and learn the difference between the different types of sounds and what they mean. Because on the floor, you just have that time where if you miss a specific lung sound, it might not mean the difference between life and death, but in the critical care area, it could mean the difference between life and death. So you really need those excellent assessment skills so that you can pick up on the subtle changes. And you learn to get that trust in your gut feeling, where you can walk into a room, look at a patient and say, oh, something's wrong and I need to get some help. When you're first nursing, you don't really have that gut yet. That instinct that you just look and know. You know doom is lurking and you need to ward it off. Do you agree with that, Karen?
Yeah, I do think that you kind of get that sixth sense that people talk about over time that really develops and becomes, I think, really fine-tuned. I think the other thing, too, is that those nurses really learn how to critically think and quickly prioritize and decision-make because they have those strong knowledge bases. You know, and like Heather said, they can assess and see what's going on, and then they can react appropriately. All those skills are incredibly important. It's an incredible challenge, but it's incredibly rewarding.
So, Karen, as we wrap up here, let's look at the future of critical care nursing. What do you see are some of the challenges and some of the exciting things on the horizon for critical care nursing?
Well, I think one of the biggest challenges is I hate to say, but I don't think the pace of change is going to slow down. From the looks of things, that'll probably continue. So I think that's challenging for nurses to have quick change occurring in the healthcare environment. So I think that's a challenge. I think that, you know, we are going to be faced increasingly, as we, I think, already are starting to see, that, you know, when you have these folks that oftentimes live with numerous comorbidities, there's a lot of moral distress that often can occur with the nurses, where they sometimes feel like they're doing things to the patient, but perhaps not in the best interest of the patient. And so I think there's going to be a lot of challenges ahead as far as looking at how we can best integrate palliative care into our critical care environments, how we can address end-of-life issues best with patients and families, and really how nurses can take good care of themselves, because that moral distress can be one of a number of factors that can really cause the nurses to develop compassion fatigue and really decide that nursing's just not for them anymore. And we don't want that to happen. We want to keep those nurses that have great skills and knowledge base, you know, working with our patients. So I think those are some of the challenges. That's kind of as the we deal with more complex patients. There's, of course, the challenge with the knowledge base, but there's also the challenge with, I think, really looking at those issues related to palliative care, end-of-life pain management, and such. So I think those are some of the things. I think as far as trends, I think we're going to continue to see sicker and sicker patients moving outside of the walls of our traditional critical care environments in acute care hospitals. We've seen that over the last few years, and I suspect that will continue, you know, and we'll be tasked with trying to figure out how we can take the best care of those patients most efficiently. And so I think we definitely have a number of challenges ahead of us. The good thing is I watch critical care nurses all the time, and they seem to be able to come up with great solutions to take great care of patients. So I have no doubt that we will be able to weather all those storms and really do a great job taking care of our patients.
That was wonderful. I agree with that 100%. That's it. It's rolling and learning and rising ourselves up to meet the challenges of the comorbidities and education and palliative care and telehealth is coming and just getting access to care for these patients at outpatient clinics, home health, critical care. It's an ever-changing field. It's very dynamic and it's fluid. And I do. I think that the nurses are ready to rise to the challenges that are ahead, absolutely, to take care of the patients.
Make sure you check out the entire July 2014 issue of Nursing Notes, where we look at the field of critical care nursing. You can read the entire issue online at www.discovernursing.com. And don't miss the other Nursing Notes Live episode this month, where I sit down with our get-to-know nurse, Stephen Nair. Stephen is a flight nurse and advanced practice RN. He's also the president of the Air and Surface Transport Nurses Association. You'll find this and other episodes of Nursing Notes Live in the podcast area on iTunes. Nursing Notes Live is produced for the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing's Future by Medicast Productions. All rights reserved.